we are diving into God's word, we're going to continue in a sermon series that we started about 5 weeks ago called Start. And this whole idea of this whole sermon series will for us to begin to think about how, what is the next step that we need to take in our spiritual development, okay? And so 5 weeks ago, we started this series. And so we talked about the first step. The first step is kind of what you guys saw today right over here, talking about salvation and baptism. The first step to truly growing in our spiritual development is salvation and baptism. And once you do that, then the next thing is to start gathering. Gathering as a church, and talked about, and then that next week we talked about how church attendance is very important. You see, we have people who watch online, we have people who are here in the room, and you know, both of those things are great, but we want to encourage you and to invite you to make sure you come to church because it's important. It's important with your relationship with Christ. It's important with your spiritual development. Because the next thing leads to this. If you are able to gather more as a church, then the next thing is you can connect more. You can connect more. And we talked about the importance of being in church, but we know that our church is a big church. And so our spot to allow people to get connected more is at small groups. And so on that week, we talked about the importance of finding your spot within a small group so you can be connected with those around you. The next thing is this, is that once you get in the church, once you start gathering more, once you start connecting more, the next step should be try to figure out where can you serve more. And we talked about the importance of serving and how serving God's kingdom actually elevates him, and not just within the church, but also outside of the church as well. And so how are you serving the God? How are you serving God these days? The next thing is this, is that Pastor Michael knocked it out the park last week when he talked about give more. He showed us, and we were able to see how Jesus shows us there is a direct correlation between our money, the way that we give our money, and in our heart. And Jesus talked about how the things that we decide to give all to are the things that we can see, the things that we love the most. And we talked about the lady that was a widow, how she gave those two coins, but it was all that she had. She gave her whole heart to the Lord. And so today, we're going to be able to wrap up this series. We're going to be able to wrap up this series by talking about taking the next step, or we can think about maybe taking the final step, whatever, however you want to see it. And then the last step is this, is to grow more. And today, that's what we're going to be focusing on. Start growing more. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. And today, our text is going to lead us to the moment where Jesus was tempted by Satan. We're going to be able to see how Jesus was able to use God's words to fight away the devil's schemes and tactics in order for us to grow closer in our relationship with God. You see, all of these things is talking about spiritual development, how we can grow closer to God in our relationship with him. And so as you turn there, I just want to take a moment to introduce myself. My name is Cliff Hines. I'm one of the pastors here. Specifically, my goal is to partner with parents in their mission and making disciples of their kids. And we want to work together to make that connection, and so that kids can hear the same thing that they're learning at church, they can learn it at home. Or the same thing they're learning at home, they can learn at church. And so we really want to partner with parents. I really want to partner with parents. And the thing is, it's about discipling kids. It's awesome. It's awesome. And so the thing is, I want to say this real quick. I'm a kids pastor. I'm always on the prowl looking. If you're interested, if you want to make an impact, if you are looking to make a life-changing impact in a child's life today, all you have to do is write kids on your Connect card. How many of you guys know you're going to get recruited to serve in kids ministry today? Anytime I'm up here, you better be ready. I'm going to be recruiting you all day, every day. Okay, so, but for real though, if you're interested in serving, write that on the Connect card, whether that's kids ministry, student ministry, cafe lobby, worship team. Let us know how you are interested in serving more. And the easiest way to do that is to scan this QR code on the screen. You scan this QR code on the screen, it's going to take you to our worship program. Our worship program has lots of things about getting connected more, talking about getting involved in a small group, maybe serving more, maybe you want to serve at an event. Whatever it is, that's what it's on that Connect card. Fill it out, We ask everybody to fill out a digital connect card. At the top of that worship program, you're going to see a button that says digital connect card. You click that bad boy. It's going to take you to our connect card. It's going to have lots of information about you. But then there's going to be a section that says get connected. So if you want to get connected in serving somewhere in the church, all you have to do is write that title, kid, student, whatever it may be, in that spot. You guys are all recruited now. You guys don't got your phones out. Come on now. Come on. Anyway, okay, let me get back on track. So if you fill out this Connect card, whether it's your first time or 101st time, we want to connect with you. The other thing about this Connect card is this, is that if you're first or second time guest here and you fill out that Connect card, we actually donate $10 to a local ministry here in town just in honor of you being here and filling out that Connect card. So we want to really connect with you, but also we want to bless our community. It's like a two-sided coin or double-edged sword or however, what is it called? What's those things called? Yeah, it's two-for-one deal. Two-for-one. Let's call it that. All right, our text. I'm straying, you guys. Okay, I'm focused. Oh, here we go. All right, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11 says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he, to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus said to him, No, the scripture says, people do not live on bread alone. People don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms in the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and the angels took care of Jesus. Guys, this passage of scripture is filled with so much rich things that we can pull from this. But what we're going to be really focusing on is this statement here. Because Jesus was tempted by Satan, there are three things that we can expect in life that will lead us to growth. There's three things in life that we can expect in life that will lead us to growth. And so this morning, I just want to start off this first one right here by thinking about all the ways you can use a rubber band. I want you guys to think about that. Just think about all the ways you can use a rubber band. And since I'm a kids pastor, I want you guys to be able to raise your hand. Don't shout out now. Don't shout it out. I want you to think about your answer. Raise your hand. I'm going to pick some people from each of the areas. And I want you to tell me some of the ways that you can use a rubber band, okay? Who can raise their hand and tell me some of the ways that you can use a rubber band? Yes, sir. Oh, like a little slingshot. Oh, he stole your answer? Yeah, too slow on the draw. You got to be quick. It's first hand. So, yeah, you can use it as a slingshot, a finger gun. What else? What's another way? Yes, sir. Ooh, wrapping up cards, like keeping something together. I like that. Yes, ma'am. Ooh, a hair tie for the ladies or those guys who got the little man bun or ponytail. You can use it as a hair tie. What else? Somebody from over here. Yes, ma'am. Ooh, for tie-dyeing? Ooh, I like that. Okay. So you guys probably seen some pictures up on the screen of different ways that we can use them. You can use them as a gripper to help unstuck legs be open. You can use them to create bracelets or necklaces. You can use them to keep packages or bags. This is my favorite one here. Wrap up, eat a bag of chips and wrap it up for later. Keep it fresh, you know. Keep a package of bags sealed. You can even use them to keep an apple from browning in the inside. You cut an apple, and I never did this before, but you can try it at home if you like. But my favorite way to use a rubber band, these gentlemen right up here had it. A good old rubber band. You take that bad boy, these fingers should hold that bad boy down right there. Get it? Some people like to do it like this. That's a good way too, but I like to do it like a finger gun. I don't know. I was always taught that you do it that way. You wrap it around that hand there, get it good and stretched. Pull that bad boy on that finger. Take an aim and shoot. you can keep that. It's not signed. It's probably not worth anything at all. But if I become famous, you can say I got a rubber band from him. Anyway, that's my favorite way to use a rubber band. You see, the thing is, there's tons of ways, maybe even hundreds of ways that we can think about using a rubber band. But can you think about using a rubber band? What way can you use a rubber band without stretching it? What way can you use a rubber band without stretching it? I think it's probably not very many ways you can use it. Maybe none at all. Because the thing is, the purpose of a rubber band was to stretch it, to keep something together, right? But if it's not stretched, it's useless. If it's not stretched, it's useless. John Maxwell, in his book, The 15 Laws of Growth, says that we are the same way. We're like a rubber band, and if we are only useful, we're only achieving our full purpose if we're being stretched. John Maxwell says this: growth stops when you lose the tension between where you are and where you could be. He also says that life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Therefore, stretching or leaving your comfort zone is the best way that you and I can experience growth. Think about all the heroes of faith. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Esther, Daniel, King David, even Paul, all these people were stretched beyond what they thought they could do, and the Lord did great things through them. Paul, he himself even writes this. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward what lies ahead, pressing on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You see, Paul, he knew that God was calling him to do great things. He knew that there was an end goal for him. He didn't allow himself to stop himself from growing. He said it himself, hey, God has called me to perfection. Hey, I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing on for that. Paul was stretched, all because of the calling that Jesus put on his life. But what about Jesus himself? Throughout Jesus' life, many times Jesus was stretched. He was stretched to grow. Talk about leaving your comfort zone. I mean, Jesus left heaven to come to earth, and he was stretched out on a cross to the point of death. Man, Jesus was stretched, right? In today's text, we can see that Jesus was stretched. If we look here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, we can see that Jesus was stretched. So what this is going to tell us is that we will be stretched too. Because Jesus was stretched, we will be stretched too. And so it says this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. As we look at today's passage, we can see that Jesus, first thing that we see is that Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And so what this tells us is that God was in control of his situation. You see, God was in control of his situation. Jesus was led by the Spirit. And so no matter what we're going through in this world, whether it's the loss of a job, a loss of a family member, no matter what it may be, you can know this is that Jesus is still in control. He's still in control. God had a purpose for this season that Jesus was going into. The season that Jesus was going through for 40 days and 40 nights was to grow him spiritually. And the way that we can know this is because it says often that the Spirit, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And often when we see this word of people going into the wilderness, going into the wilderness, maybe like the idea that people were going for growth. Think about the Israelites. They left Egypt. They wandered. They went through the wilderness led by the Spirit by night. It was by fire. By morning, it was by a cloud, led by the Spirit. God was with him, leading them to the promised land. They get to the promised land, and God said, hey, this is your land. You're going to take it. But they were afraid. They were afraid of all the giants and all of the strong soldiers that were there. And because of their disbelief, God sent them back into the wilderness to grow more in him, to trust him more. And if we look back into all those scriptures, we can see that they had to rely on God for food, rely on God for water, rely on God as the only God and not worship things of this world. And the thing is that God was trying to get them to believe in him more, to grow more in him. And he's doing the same thing for you and I. God wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to stretch us. But the thing is, I love about this is that this it says that Jesus was led into the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God is always for our good. God is always working things out for our good. And the thing is that though things may seem bad on our side because we don't see the full picture that God has for us, things may seem bad. He works out the good things and the bad things for his glory and for our good. God is for us. He's not against us. The text says that he was led by the Spirit, but tempted by the devil. So that lets us know that the Spirit was leading him. And while the Spirit was leading him, Satan himself came along to tempt him. There is a difference between God leading him and Satan tempting him. You see, the thing is that God, although he won't tempt us, he will test us. He will test us. You see, the difference between a temptation or being tempted and being tested is this, is that when you're being tempted, that's to enticing you to fail. They want you to fail. They want to see you do the wrong thing. But when you're being tested, on the other hand, God tests us sometimes. He's setting us up to choose to make the right choice. Think about a test. Your teacher, she doesn't want you to fail. He don't want you to fail. Think about your time in school. When you had that, they were excited for if you passed. They didn't try to do everything against you to make you fail. They wanted to see you succeed. God himself wants to see you succeed. He want to see you make the right choice. He want to see you depend on him. The devil's job in the midst of all of that, as he's leading us, as God is leading us, the devil's job in all of that is to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to lead us astray while God's saying, hey, follow me. Hey, keep your eyes on me. I'm right here. Come on. He's leading us the whole way. And the thing is that as God is leading us, I can't imagine being in Jesus' situation here. He's been out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He's all by himself. He has the devil on his back. Hey, do this. Hey, do that. He's tired. I know that when I'm hungry, when I'm tired, when I'm alone, when I'm stressed, I'm bound to make bad choices. You're bound to make bad choices. I mean, how many of you guys, when you get hangry, not just hungry, but hangry, you lash out? How many of you guys, when you're tired, like, I ain't about to do that. No, I'm done. I'm tired. How many of you guys, when you're alone, your mind and your thoughts start drifting? And when you're stressed and you feel the weight, you make bad choices. You see, Jesus, he felt all of those things. The text tells us that he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time. It's a long time. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. Goes on and tells us, he became very hungry. He was hungry. The Spirit led Jesus. Jesus, in his physical form, was by himself. He was alone. And once again, he had Satan breathing down his neck, trying to tempt him to make the wrong choice. Jesus was being stretched in this moment. And because Jesus was stretched, you will be stretched too. The next thing is this. Jesus was tested. Jesus was tested. And because Jesus was tested, we will be tested too. It says this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says that he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a rock. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. You see, the devil here, Satan, he's not creative. Let that sink in for a minute. Think about it. The devil himself, Satan, he's not creative. Aren't you glad that he's not creative? Because the thing is, he used the same schemes, the same tricks, the same lies, the same comebacks every single time in order to tempt us. He's not creative. You see, the thing is, here in just next week, as we wrap up this series, we're going to go into another series called Schemes, where we're going to be able to expose all the plans that the devil tried to use to tempt you and I, to destroy us, to lead us astray. There's five things that the devil do to all people. The first one is this, and one of the things that we're going to be going through is this, is that he wants us to question what God has told us. He's going to use deception, temptation, isolation, and accusation. And we're going to be able to break down all five of these things and see how the devil's schemes, his tricks, his tactics, they're not creative. They're the same things all the time. But as we look here inside of this text, we can see that, once again, the devil's not creative. The devil says the same thing twice, back to back, in order to get Jesus to stray. He says, if you are the Son of God. He's trying to challenge Jesus's identity. You see, the thing is that if Satan can change what we believe about ourselves, or our identity, then he can change the way we think, the things that we say, and the way that we act. If anybody can change your identity, what you believe about yourself, they can change the way you act. The thing is that if we look back to chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, just a few verses before this, verse 17, it says this. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dear loved son who brings me great joy. Who's speaking? Who's speaking? God. This is God from heaven speaking down to his son, Jesus. The heavens open up after Jesus has been baptized. We hear a loud voice saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And three verses later, we can see the devil sneaking up. Hey, if you're really the son of God, if you're really the son of God, if you're really a daughter of Christ, if you're really a man of God, if you are really, fill in the blank, a great mom, a great dad, a great grandparent. If you really are, the devil's trying to get us to question our identity. And the thing is that we're all children of God. The devil's trying to get Jesus to take advantage of his power. The devil's trying to get Jesus to prove himself to those around him. The devil's trying to get us to to stray away from what God has called us all to do. And that first thing that he calls us all to do is to follow him, to obey him, to choose to follow him. The devil is always out to tempt us. The first time after the devil realized that he is not going to get Jesus to stray away from what God has called him to do, the first time he said, hey, turn this rock into bread, and Jesus said, no, I can't do that because God is not calling me to prove my power in my own self. God's going to fuel me. I don't need that rock to be bread. I don't need to prove myself to you, Satan, because I'm a child of God. I'm the son of God. And so the devil runs away. And he said, He realized what Jesus did. And what Jesus did was that he quoted scripture. And the devil comes back a second time. If you're really the son of God, why don't you jump off the edge of this high temple? You know, the Bible says that the angels will protect you. God won't let him harm you. But then Jesus responds with, it says, the Bible also says that we should not test God. We should not test the Lord our God. You see, Jesus is fighting back using scripture. But the thing is that the devil first copied Jesus. Remember, devil's not creative. He saw what he was doing. He's like, oh, I can do that too. And so, church, hear me on this. The devil, his demons, they know God's word. They know who Jesus is. They might not know him here. They kind of have an understanding of who he is. They kind of have an understanding of his word. But the thing is, when the devil and his demons use God's words, they're using it for evil to tempt you to stray away from what God is calling you to do and the truth that's in his word. And so we have to be on our A game if we're going to be really ready for when the devil comes to attack us and when he comes to cause us to try to be strayed away from him. You see, God's word is what kept Jesus on a straight and narrow. God's word is what allowed Jesus to pass God's test. God's word is what allowed Jesus to fight away the lies, the schemes, the accusations, all those things that the devil's tried to do to tempt us. He used God's word to fight away. So my thing is that this is that God's word is the key of life. No matter what test you go through, guess what? It's an open book test. No matter what test you go through, guess what? God has slid you the answer key. No matter what test or trial you go through, God's word will give you the answers if you seek him out and read it. That might start with 15 minutes of chair time a day. Reading God's word. We're all on this church plan where we've been reading God's word throughout the year. We're trying to finish reading the Bible throughout the year. And the thing is, I understand reading the Bible throughout the year is hard. Because if you miss one day, that makes the next day that much harder. If you miss 3 days, that makes that next day even harder. If you miss a week, you're like, man, I'm never going to catch up. A month go by, and you figure out, like, hey, I haven't been in God's word. And then you wonder why life is so hard. You see, God's word is the key of life. He's the soil in which we believers, Christ followers, can grow in. But the thing is, we gotta read it. And the thing is, we just don't have to read it, we have to study it. We have to learn it, we have to meditate, we have to remember it, because when that time comes, when the devil comes to tempt you, you need to be ready. The only way that Jesus was able to be ready, it's because he spent time with God's word. Jesus was ready. He is the word of life. And if we read it, we'll seek that life out as well. And we'll be ready to fight when the devil comes. The last thing is this. Jesus was humble. Jesus was humble. So that means that we need to be humble. Check this out here in verse 8. It says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and only serve him. Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of him. Took care of Jesus. Man, I don't know about you guys, but every time I read scripture, I like to picture it in my head. How many of you guys like to picture out and kind of try to figure out, like, what's really happening here, okay? I mean, this one right here makes me laugh every time I read it, because what the devil's trying to do is trying to tempt Jesus with all the glory and the power of the world. But the thing is that the devil must have forgot that Jesus was there at the moment of creation. He was there at the very beginning. He's the one who formed the world, and he's trying to take Jesus to this high place and say, hey, all this can be yours. The world right here can be yours in all of its power. The one who created it all, Jesus, will not be tempted by this worldly power that we can possess. You see, the thing is that Jesus, he's the creator and the owner of it all. Get out of here, Satan, he said. You must be real silly. Get out of here, Satan. Not today. I mean, I just think that's funny that Jesus is like, get out of here. We must worship the Lord our God and only serve him. Not kneel down to you, not bow down to you, not worship you. We must serve the Lord our God and only worship him. The thing is that the devil's pretty tricky, though. You see, for many people, maybe people like you and I, we would give in to that temptation. And I can have all the power. I can have all of this. This would be all mine. Yes. All I got to do is bow down and worship you. Easy. Give it to me. The words here, kneel down and worship, when we go back to the Greek language and break it down, it's actually written in the aorist form. That's a form of writing that shows that this is a one-time thing. This is not a lifelong commitment. Jesus, the devil said, hey, if you bow down and worship me this one time, I'll give you all of this. It's just a one-time thing. You don't have to do it anymore. Just do it once. Just do it once. I'll give you all of this if you bow down and worship me just today. It's fine. Nobody's going to know. I'll give it all to you. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. But the thing is that Jesus, he understood and knew how the devil works. You see, he knew that one step towards sin leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And you find yourself in this slippery slope that you can't get out of. Men, look at me. It's not worth it. Don't find yourself sliding on a slippery slope because you gave in to one moment of weakness. Because you gave in to one moment of weakness. Do not allow the devil to win over your life. Lead your families well. Don't allow the devil to win. Because the thing is that the devil's offers are not really real deals or offers at all. They're traps to get us stuck. To get us stuck. I heard it once said like this, is that a temptation is like a lure. Got any fishermen out here, you know what I'm about to say. You probably can correlate with this. If you fish and you like to bash fish, you can probably understand where this is coming from. Temptation is like a lure. Satan is like a master angler. That means a fisherman. He's like a master fisherman who knows exactly where your weaknesses are. And he's the expert at presenting you with your weakness at that very right moment. And it causes you to sin. When you're lonely, don't give in. When you're tired, don't give in. When you're feeling the stress, don't give in. When you're hungry, women, don't get hangry. There you go. It's not all about men, it's about all of us, because we all experience all these things. Don't give in. Don't allow Satan to win. Be strong and understand what God has called you to do and live to follow Jesus in the way that he's leading you. Don't let Satan win. Because one foolish choice in the moment of weakness can wipe away many years of integrity. Church, the truth is this, is that temptation has not lost its power. Temptation has not lost its power. It's still an active force today that we're all fighting against. And so if you've chosen to be a servant of God, to serve Christ, and to live for his kingdom, you need to be, your expectation should be that you will be a special target for the devil. He's trying to tempt you to lead you astray so that you don't fulfill the call of Christ that he has on your life. You are a special target. The people who don't believe him, he don't worry about them because he already has them. But those who've turned their back on Satan and said, Jesus, I'm following you, he's doing everything he can to throw that perfect lure, that perfect temptation in your way to cause you to fall away from Christ. But the cool thing about this story is the Holy Spirit, God himself, never left Jesus. It says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And during this time, Satan came along. During this time, Satan came along. But the thing is that Jesus was led the whole time by the Spirit. And you are too. You are too. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and staff, they comfort me in the presence of my enemy. Jesus is there correcting us. Hey, stay focused. Watch out now. He's right behind you. Keep your eyes on me. Come on. Keep your eyes on me. The devil's trying to do all the things he can do to get your attention. And so often we look away and we stray. There's a story of a father who is in the kitchen. He's looking out the kitchen window, and he sees his son out playing in a sandbox. And as he's playing, he realizes that there's this huge boulder that's taken up all his space to play in. This huge rock that's taken up the whole space to play in. So the son tries his best with all the strength that he has to push the boulder out. The boulder's not moving. He takes the 2x4 to try to leverage it out. It's not moving. He's leaning on it with his shoulder. The boulder is not moving. It's always there. The father looks out the window again, and he sees his son sitting on the edge of the sandbox. Son's no longer playing. He's no longer fighting. The son is now sitting on the edge with his hands in his head. He was frustrated. He's tired. He's alone. He's all by himself. He's stressed out. So the father comes out. He looks at his son in his eye and he says, did you quit? Did you give up? And the son said, yes, sir, I did. I quit. I gave up. I can't move the boulder. Can't get it out of my sandbox. The father looked at him and said, did you use all of the strength that's available to you. Son said, yes, sir, I did. I did all I could do. I can't do anymore. I can't move it. I don't have any more strength left. And the father looked at him and said, no, you didn't. Because you didn't ask me for help. Didn't ask me for help. Some of you guys in this room are tired of fighting. Some of you guys in this room are tired of being stretched, tested, and humbled. But the thing is, during those moments, that's when we need to draw near to God. But the thing is, it starts with that first step. That's having a relationship with Jesus. Because the Father's always there, but he's waiting for you to ask him for help. Final thought is this. Draw near to God when you're being stretched, tested, or humbled. Because maybe God doesn't want you to be comfortable. Maybe he wants you to grow more. Let's pray together. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this morning. God, I pray that as we are seeking you out for help, God, I pray that you allow us to recognize who you are. God, Satan is all around us. He's trying to tempt us all the time. And so, God, I recognize that some of us, all of us in this room, we do things wrong. And those things are called sin. And God, I understand that sin separates us from you. And so, God, I pray that if there's people in this room today who have not admitted to you that they're a sinner, God, I pray that they do that today. God, I believe in your son. God, I believe that he is your son and that he was sent from heaven for our good. God, I believe that Jesus Christ chose to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be made right with you, so that we can live with you. God, I believe in you. God, I confess with my mouth that you are the only one that can take away my sins, that you are the Lord of my life. God, help me. God, I can't fight this battle alone, so God, help me live for you, to seek you out in all moments of life. God, that's a prayer for all of us. Those who believe and those who don't. God, I pray that you allow us to process and think through what is our next step to grow in you. God, we love you. God, we thank you for your son. And that's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen.